Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey.
Family, welcome to day 361. We are in our final week of this Bible reading plan. I'm super, super excited to jump in to 2 Chronicles chapters 21 to 24. Talk about action-packed chapters. Like, the drama is real. Like, this is some Game of Thrones level drama. And if you haven't done the reading for the day, honestly, you're missing out because this is just full of action. Tons of characters to keep track of, tons of just humans, and I'm going to try to keep track of it all. And if you have done the reading, then this next invitation is not for you. But if you haven't done the reading, I'm going to invite you to stop the video, pause the audio, and go get the reading done, okay? This reading, the chapters are feeling longer, in my opinion, but they're moving. But there's a lot of details to keep track of, okay? That's just the nature of this section of Chronicles. All right. So with no further ado, let's jump into context clues, then nerdy nuggets, and then we'll leave the episode off with the timeless truth. And our timeless truth today really points to Jesus, and I'm excited about it. So make sure that you stick around for the end of the episode to hear the timeless truth for the day. Context. We got a lot of characters today. So almost opposite of yesterday. Yesterday, all four chapters, 17, 18, 19, and 20, centered around one main character. His name is Jehoshaphat. And it's really sad because he could have been a great king. He ended up being an okay king, but his decision really creates a domino effect that means that these next couple of kings are going to be the worst. And like the decision to form a marriage alliance with Ahab and Jezebel are going to bring the Davidic line almost to the brink of disaster. Like, it's going to be one couple that really saves everything for the Davidic line. And so, man, this is nuts. Okay, so Jehoram, we're going to see Jehoram come to power in chapter 21. Chapter 21 starts like so. I'm just going to flip there. There we go. Then Jehoshaphat rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, succeeded him as king. And skip down to verse 4. When Jehoram established himself firmly over his father's kingdom, he put all his brothers to the sword along with some of the officials of Israel. Uh-oh. This is not getting off to a good start, yo. Not gonna lie. Bruh, you killing your brothers. Like, and obviously, this is normal in the secular world, okay? For Babylonians, Assyrians, Persians, killing any rival claim to the throne, normal. In Israel, terrible. Like legit, just like he's acting like a pagan. However, I mean, it says this in verse 6 is going to give us a reason. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel as the house of Ahab had done. So it's like he's acting like his father-in-law, Ahab, for he married a daughter of Ahab. So we're already at, the Bible's not trying to blame the wife necessarily. The Bible's just saying he's being influenced by the person he's married, which I could get into a timeless truth right there. Like, your spouse is going to have a influence on your life, whether that be positive or negative. There is no doubt whether or not your spouse is going to influence you and your destiny and your purpose and your spiritual vitality and everything about your life. All right. So he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So Jehoram's going to get a thumbs down. It's a terrible king. And he is married to Athaliah. Okay, so when it says, for he married a daughter of Ahab, that daughter of Ahab is Athaliah, and homegirl is about to be infamous, okay? And then Libna revolted at the same time. So there's tons of revolt now. The Edomites surrounded him as chariot commanders, but he rose up and broke through. To this day, Edom has been in rebellion because Jehoram had forsaken the Lord, the God of his ancestors. He also built high places on the hills of Judah and caused the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves and had led Judah astray. And so we're going to get a cameo from our dude, Elijah the prophet, who obviously is featured heavily in Kings, in the book of Kings, but not in Chronicles. But we're going to get this, essentially this letter that like, dude, Jehoram, you're going to die of like a bowel disease, dude. And that's exactly what happens. Okay. He passes away. And then this is a sad verse, man. Verse 20, Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. Okay. So he was only 40 years old when he dies. He passed away to no one's regret. That's just sad. To no one's regret. And was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. All right, so Jehoram married to Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, essentially like Jezebel Jr., bro. And she's trash. Like, she literally influences this man in an incredibly negative way. But doesn't stop there. Athaliah is now going to go from being the wife of Jehoram to being the mom of Ahaziah. So chapter 22 starts. The people of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, Jehoram's youngest son, king in his place, since the raiders who came with the Arabs into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Verse 3, he too followed the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him to act wickedly. So Jehoram's going to be a terrible king because of his wife, Athaliah. And then their son, Ahaziah, is going to be a terrible king because of his mom, Athaliah. Common denominator here is homegirl Athaliah. Athaliah's trash. Jezebel Jr. is trash, okay? And that's so bad. So now Ahaziah is also going to die. Okay. It says this, Jehu, who we've heard a lot about in Kings. All right. Like Jehu, familiar character. Okay. It says this this is verse 8 of chapter 22. While Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the officials of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's relatives who had been attending Ahaziah, and he killed them. He then went in search of Ahaziah, and his men captured him while he was hiding in Samaria. He was brought to Jehu and put to death. They buried him, for they said he was a son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So there was no one in the house of Ahaziah powerful enough to retain the kingdom. So now Athaliah is going to perform a coup. All right. That's exactly what's going to happen. So verse 10, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family of the house of Judah. So I'm pretty sure I said this yesterday, like Athaliah is on a demonic rampage. Like, she is on a mission from hell to just destroy the messianic seed. Like, that, there's no other way to describe like what this woman is doing. As a wife, she has completely ruined Jehoram. As a mom, she's ruined Ahaziah. And now she is killing every single heir of David's throne that she could find. Okay. Verse 11, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram. Okay. So this is also, this may be Athaliah's stepdaughter or daughter, okay? Took Joash, son of Ahaziah. This is going to be her nephew, right? Yeah, nephew, maybe, cousin. My brain will not compute which family member this is, but you can let me know in the comments on YouTube, okay? And stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered, and put him in his nurse in a bedroom. Because Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, and the wife of the priest Jehoiada. Now, these characters are going to become really important for the rest of the story, especially Jehoiada. Okay? So this couple, this married couple, wife's name is Jehosheba, husband's name is Jehoiada, okay? The wife of the priest Jehoiada was Ahaziah's sister. She hid the child from Athaliah so she could not kill him. So Athaliah's out here killing children, and they hide the only heir left. Okay, so verse 12, he remained hidden with them at the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land. So now you have this wicked woman that's actually like in leadership. Terrible. In the 7th year, Jehoiada showed his strength. He made a covenant with the commanders of the units of 100. And what he's going to do, he's going to provide like armed protection for this young boy named Joash, okay? And Joash is going to come to power. All right, so chapter 24 says, Joash was 7 years old when he became king. Let me go up one verse to chapter 23, verse 21. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was calm because Athaliah had been slain with the sword. So somebody finally freaking kills Athaliah, thank God. Wicked. Just wicked, evil woman. So that somebody finally kills her. Praise God. And now Joash is 7 years old and he becomes king. Okay, so I'm pretty sure this is the youngest king like that Judah is going to have in the entire Bible. But it's not like he's just going to rule. It's Jehoiada who's really going to be leading, even though Joash is the king. So Joash gets a grade, just like every king gets a grade. Verse 2, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. That's kind of like an asterisk. As long as Jehoiada the priest is alive, Joash is on the straight and narrow. Okay, so Joash wants to repair the temple. All right, he wants to make sure that there's tithe and tax for the repair of the temple. I want you in chapter 24 to just note how many times the word repair, okay? I see the word repair in verse 5, and then I see the word rebuilt in verse 13, reinforced in verse 13. As long as Jehoiada lived, burnt offerings were presented continually in the temple of the Lord. That's verse 14. Verse 15, now Jehoiada was old and full of years. He died at the age of 130. He was buried with the kings in the city of David because of the good he had done in Israel for God and his temple. Oh, this is Ezra. Oh, this got Ezra written all over. This is so, as Gen Z would say, Ezra coded. Okay? This content is Ezra coded. All the officials and all the people brought their contributions gladly, verse 10 of chapter 24, dropping them into the chest until it was full. So this is kind of reminiscent of how the people brought offerings for the temple when David was honestly like about to die, but making preparations for his son to take over the temple. Okay. So Jehoram, Ahaziah, Joash. Okay. The only reason that Joash is even able to lead at the age of 7 is because Jehoiada and Jehosheba have honestly like spared this boy's life. Unfortunately, Jehoiada is going to die. Verse 15, chapter 24, Jehoiada was old and full of years, and he died at the age of 130. Okay, now skip. Verse 17, after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and he listened to them. They abandoned the temple of the Lord. Come on, man. Ezra's got one wish that you would just not abandon the temple, okay? They abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and worshiped astral poles and idols. Because of their guilt, God's anger came on Judah and Jerusalem. So 24 is actually going to be where Zechariah is going to get killed. We've talked about that before. And then finally, verse 24, although the Aramean army had come with only a few men, the Lord delivered into their hands a much larger army because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Judgment was executed on Joash, all right? So, and we get a shout out to the book of Kings, okay? Verse 27. I've transitioned into Nerdy Nuggets a long time ago. Just forgot to say anything, so sorry about that. Verse 27, the account of his sons
the many prophecies about him, and the record of the restoration of the temple of God are written in the annotations of the book of the Kings. And Amaziah, his son, succeeded him as king. And so tomorrow, we will start talking about Amaziah, okay? And so remember I said that we are on a loop, like we're going to get decline and reform, decline and reform, decline and reform. So Jehoram and Ahaziah represent decline. Joash represents some form of, you know, like reform. It's just only while Jehoiada's alive, only while Jehoiada's alive, which is unfortunate. So we had a lot of characters today. We had Jehoram. We had Ahaziah. Okay, Athaliah is Jehoram's wife, Ahaziah's mom. So both of these kings are going to get negatively influenced by the same woman, okay, idol-worshipping, demon-worshipping woman, and then we're going to get Joash. So Athaliah is trying to kill her grandson, okay, and if it's not for Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada, she would have successfully killed her grandson, and Joash wouldn't have been able to enact any other reforms that he was able to enact. And honestly, the entire story of Jehoshaphat, Jehoiada, Joash, Athaliah, all these characters lead us seamlessly into our timeless truth, which is the house of David goes to the brink of extinction. I mean, one person away from the prophecy that God gave, like being null and void. And all hope is found in the hands of a toddler. That's right. Like, if this toddler's not hidden and then revealed, this toddler won't be able to be the means of salvation for David's line. And man, if that's not foreshadowing another toddler that's going to have to be hidden because Herod is going to want to kill him. The same toddler who is threatening power of people much older than him. So David's line comes to the brink of extinction, but someone's wise enough to hide that which is valuable. Because they hid that which is valuable, that leader, that king, in this instance, it's Joash, but for the future, it's going to be Jesus, survives the enemy's planned attack against the seed that God wants to grow and sprout. And so David's lineage lives to see another generation. And honestly, that's not just relevant for Joash or Jehoiada or Jehoshaphat. That's relevant for you. It's relevant for me because, man, we're embarking on the Christmas season, and we believe that a child that was born, a toddler, that all of glory was downloaded into this one toddler, and he's the hope of the world. He is the hope of the world. And I'm super excited that I get to worship Jesus. And so everything was on the brink of failure and extinction. And if it had not been for a baby, aka a toddler, who was hidden, we would not be sitting here enjoying salvation and deliverance and freedom. And so that is not just true for Jehoiada and Jehoshaphat and Joash. That's true for you. That's true for me if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Tomorrow we got day 362. We're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles chapters 25 to 27. I'm super, super excited to be walking through this final week on the Bible Department with all of you. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'll see you tomorrow. Love you. Peace. Thank you so much for joining me on the Bible Department podcast. If this episode was helpful, it would mean the world to me if you'd give us a follow, rate and review the show, and don't forget to share. You can learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and find us on Instagram at The Bible Department. If you want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow. What if I told you that what you're learning in this video was just the tip of the iceberg? The Bible Department is actually powered by Arma. What is Arma? I'm so glad you asked. Arma is an online subscription-based platform that we designed to help people, everyday people, learn the Bible for themselves. We started Arma so that anybody, anywhere, could have access
to trustworthy and entertaining Bible and theology content. In addition to this podcast, we have over 60 courses on individual books of the Bible, on theology topics, and on some hot topics like homosexuality, tithing, and women in ministry. But really, ARMA is a community of people that I've gotten to know, a community where thousands of people are currently finding family, asking questions, and nerding out on the Bible together. If you want a community to read the Bible with you this year, or if you want to dive into some deeper theological content, or if you want more exclusive access to me and the entire ARMA team, how about you go to thebibledepartment.com. I'll be sure to post the link in the description of this video. Let's make this your year to become a Bible nerd.